Don't worry about anything but in everything by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Thanks for joining us today. This is the Hour of Intercession. I'm Pastor Joseph Parker. We'll be introducing our in-studio guests in just a few moments, but we invite you to look with us in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 10. Luke chapter 10, beginning at verse 25. And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tested him, saying, "Teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" He said to him, "What is written in the law? What is your reading of it?" So he answered and said, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself." And he said to him, "You have answered rightly. Do this, and you will live." But he, wanting to justify himself, said to Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" Then Jesus answered and said, "A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, who stripped him of his clothing, wounded him, and departed, leaving him half dead. Now by chance a certain priest came down that road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. Likewise a Levite, when he arrived at the place, came and looked, and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was. And when he saw him, he had compassion. So he went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. And he set him on his own animal, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. On the next day when he departed, he took out 2 denarii, gave them to the innkeeper, and said to him, 'Take care of him, and whatever more you spend, when I come again, I will repay you.' So which of these three do you think was neighbor to him who fell among the thieves?" And he said, "He who showed mercy on him." Then Jesus said to him, "Go and do likewise." Again, verses 25 through 37, Luke chapter 10. Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you for the wisdom and the counsel of your word. Thank you for how that your word guides, directs, molds, and shapes us to be the disciples you've called us to be. Father, more and more empower us to be believers who are walking in the wisdom and the love and the grace of the Samaritan, not being the church in name, but the church in action, in love, and in deed. Lord, teach us to do that, to live that way every single day. And help us to know, Lord, that you've called us to live lives that are full of ministry, where we're loving people, helping people, reaching out to people, and showing them what Jesus looks like with our actions as well as with our words. Father, guide us so that more and more we'll live that out every day. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Thanks again for listening to the Hour of Intercession. Let me remind you once again of an upcoming event we have scheduled for September 17th. We're doing Operation Tank Full of Love once again this year. Urban Family, American Family Radio, and Eric Horner Ministries are reaching out to those who help defend our freedom. It's our opportunity to say thanks to those who sacrificed so much in our military. On September 17th, Operation Tank Full of Love will bless soldiers serving at Fort Campbell, Kentucky, with free gas for their vehicles. Help us say thanks to the soldiers and families serving at Fort Campbell, Kentucky. Our goal this year is to serve 2,500 soldiers. Operation Tank Full of Love is a gift from the body of Christ and a great way to let them know we're proud of them and we appreciate them. Donations for the fuel are needed to reach the goal. 100% goes towards blessing our troops. If you want to get involved, you can find it online, tankfulloflove.com. Again, go to tankfulloflove.com, or you can call this number, 1-877-968-3742. Again, that's 1-877-968-3742. We're grateful to have with us in studio today Steve Tiber, who is the president of the ministry 8 Days of Hope and Hope Reigns. Thanks for joining us, Brother Steve.
Thank you so much for having me. I appreciate it.
Good to have you on with us today. And Steve, as we start off, I'm just going to ask if you'll just tell our listeners, some have heard of 8 Days of Hope and some haven't. Tell them who you are and what you do.
Yeah, so Hurricane Katrina hit the state I live in. I live in Mississippi. And when it did back in 2005, my dad, who was living in New York, called me and said, "Hey, Steve, let's go to the Gulf Coast and let's find somebody and help them. I mean, that's the right thing to do." And I said, "Well, Dad, I've got 6 siblings, and all 6 of them, including my 5 sisters, are better with their hands than I am. So why are you calling me?" He goes, "Well, you live there." Mm-hmm. "They don't. So, you know, pray about it and see, you know, see how you feel about it." So mm-hmm. we agreed we were going to invite, you know, 3, 4, 5 people. And I remember sharing my passion with Tim Wildman, of course, of AFA, AFR. And I said, "Tim, could you play a local spot? Maybe we can get, you know, 12 people. That'd be really neat." Well, lunch, Don't you know, when you think you're in control and all of a sudden you realize God's in control, that trip that was meant to be my dad and I, a couple buddies, ended up being almost 700 people. Mm. And we rebuilt 84 homes. Actually, God rebuilt 84 homes through us. And we touched many people in Bay St. Louis and Waveland. And they were blown away by the generosity of our Father in heaven who gives us gifts. And we were just using those gifts. But I was blown away because of what came together with me being the bottleneck, to be candid with you, just looking back at that first trip. But driving home with my family, with my three kids in the back seat, I was weeping like a baby. I saw boats and trees, and it looked like a bomb had dropped off. And there was so much more to do, so many more people to share about Jesus with by helping them rebuild. And so 8 Days of Hope was birthed. It's a 501c3. We're a non-for-profit organization. We're an all-volunteer organization. We've gone everywhere around the country. We've gone to Louisiana, Iowa, Tennessee, North Carolina, soon South Carolina, New York, Illinois. And our goal is simple. 8 Days of Hope helps in the rebuilding after disaster. We try to help out people with no insurance, not enough insurance, the widows, families going through a very tough time. And when we go somewhere, we will literally rebuild or build hundreds of homes in 8 days. So think of Extreme Makeover. You see it on TV, they, you know, move that bus, one house. They do a great job. Well, God allows us to do 200 of those in 1 week. Mm-hmm. We don't move any buses, but it's been a lot of fun to see that ministry birth.
Mm. They need to start a reality show, 8 Days of Hope, too, don't they?
You know, it's funny you bring that up because there's somebody actually talking to us saying, hey, can we follow you around? And if we did, but we'll see what God does with that. Mm-hmm. So we have rebuilt 1,700 homes. In multiple states. And when the tornado came through Tupelo in 2014, I literally walked through those streets literally minutes from the tornado, and I saw people who were just weeping beside themselves. Thank God no one passed from that tornado here, but people who had worked so hard to no fault of their own lost everything in a moment, you know, had their house totally destroyed or had major damage. And the Holy Spirit just clearly spoke to me and then confirmed it with our vice president at the time, Wayne Van Lanen, who's still our vice president, that we need to start a rapid response ministry. And so we call that Hope Reigns. So Hope Reigns goes anywhere within 3 to 5 days of the disaster. They're in Baton Rouge, Louisiana, as we speak, right now, helping people gut their homes, salvage things that are salvageable, and just ministering to those who are in need. 8 Days of Hope goes 6-9 months afterwards, and they do the building.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So, Steve, so people that are listening, if they want to get involved in any and all kinds of ways, for example, people that may want to actually pick up and come be with you, others that may think, well, I can't go, but I'd like to give, how can everyone get involved?
Yeah, sure. Our website is really the best way to get information about either ministry, 8daysofhope.com, 8 days, that's plural, 8daysofhope.com. And you can click on Hope Reigns if you are interested in going to Louisiana. And we provide the food and lodging. Now, with Hope Reigns, you have to be 18 because it is a disaster site. It's very fresh. There's a lot of things that go on right after disaster. And so we do ask for adults 18 and above. Mm-hmm. 8 Days of Hope, which is going to South Carolina to help the flood victims from last year, October, we encourage families. I mean, the best sermon I ever heard is the one I saw. People need to see Jesus in action. And parents, what a perfect opportunity for take your kids 2-3 days. We ask you to come for a minimum 3 days. You can stay all 8. We provide the food and the lodging. You just have to come to South Carolina and let God do the rest. So 8daysofhope.com. Our Facebook page is pretty neat too because we post pictures and videos or news stories or announcements. So it's kind of neat to see some of the homeowner stories kind of unveil themselves daily.
What, and you get a chance to share the gospel in the midst of that sometimes too. Then.
Amen. You know, it's amazing to me. I assume everyone who signs up for a mission trip has a relationship with Jesus Christ. I learned at 8 Days of Hope 1 when a volunteer came up to me and said, hey, I came down here. I thought I knew Jesus. I thought a relationship. Man, I'm a sinner. I need him. How does that work? And it hit me like, whoa, Steve, you're here with all these other people trying to minister to homeowners. But so many times on a missions trip, you go with the right motive. You're going to help people, and God unveils himself to you. And if you know him, he shows you other things. And so we do share Jesus Christ. I've seen homeowners fall on their knees on their driveway. Miss Anna May, 84 years young, a group of teenagers from Michigan. I remember them telling me the night before, we don't know why we're doing here. We carry things, but we don't really hammer stuff. And like, God will show you why you're here. The next day, mm-hmm. they shared their testimonies with Miss Anna May. Mm-hmm. And Miss Anna May, 84 years young, fell on her knees on a concrete driveway. Mm-hmm. and gave her heart to Jesus Christ. And mm-hmm. that's why we do what we do. Yeah, we love that we've rebuilt 1,700 homes, you know, $23 million of work. It's cool to be in the USA Today and mm-hmm. CNN and Fox News and all that stuff. We do it simple. God tells us to love him and love others. Mm-hmm. 8 days open, hope reigns. It's all about loving others.
Mm-hmm. Sounds like a lot of fun and excitement.
I tell you, I'm a volunteer, but it's priceless. You know, mm-hmm. I've taken my family on 9 of the trips, 10 of the trips. Mm-hmm. They've gone on some of the Hope Reigns trips. It's amazing. I told someone today, I'm selfish, I guess, because I see so many miracles that God performs that mm-hmm. so many others don't see because I'm right there on the front line. Mm-hmm. And when, you know, when a volunteer says, I wanted to come, I had no money, and a guy walked up to church and said, hey, have you ever been on a mission trip? No. Hey, what if I bought you a plane ticket? Are you serious? And then, mm-hmm. you know, it's just amazing, all those stories. Mm-hmm. We were in Iowa. We had a $250,000 grant. To do an 8 Days Hope trip, Joe, it takes mm-hmm. about $500,000. We have to raise every penny. Yeah. And our grant fell through 2 days before. Mm. And I told all the leaders, guys, this is Abraham and Isaac, but right now it's Abraham and Visa. If you've got a Visa card, throw it on the table because we got to buy some things and we just got to trust he's going to provide. Mm-hmm. And literally, I looked on the table, there's like 34 Visa cards. I don't know what kind of credit limit they had on them, but we were ready to, you know, to pound them. And literally, probably 30 minutes after we prayed in a circle, mm-hmm. A phone rang and someone knew that we had lost a grant, said, hey, we got you on this. Mm. And I'm like, got what? We got all this. I'm like, all that? Everyone was so excited to get their Visa cards back. But again, it was just watching God move. It's so cool.
Mm. And so now children get to go on the trips as well.
Then. Yeah, 8 Days of Hope. So it's very family friendly. Hope reigns because it's a fresh disaster site, no one under 18. But 8 Days of Hope in October. We're going October 8th through the 15th. We ask you to come for 3 days. If you want to fly, fly into the Charleston airport. We'll pick you up. If you don't have any tools, don't worry about it. We got a bunch. You check them out like a library book. So if you come down and you say, Steve, I want to do some roofing, but I have no roofing guns, mm-hmm. no problem. Check one out like a library book. Mm-hmm. We're going to ask that you don't shoot any nails in your feet now. Be safe. But you get a chance to use them. And it's amazing just to see the feeding team feed 3,000 people at one time. Mm-hmm. Our food bill on our last trip was $82,000.
Feeding a lot of people, so, right.
Man, I thought I had a big food bill with 5 kids. I mean, you know, but, you know, God, he's Jehovah Jireh, and he provides all of the needs. And I tell you, listeners, if you're out there, if you can't go on either one of these trips, go to our website and hit the tab, Get Involved. And if you hit Get Involved, all we do is we ask for your email address. We'll never sell it. We'll never give it away. The only time we'll email you is to tell you of an upcoming trip. So if a disaster hit West Virginia 2 months ago, anyone on our email list had a chance to go to Somerville, West Virginia. Or when Buffalo, New York had that 6 feet of snow a year ago, November after Thanksgiving Day, we had volunteers go to Buffalo and dig people out. So regardless where you live in the country, we'd love to have people get involved with the ministry.
Amen. Steve, would you just take the last 30 seconds before our break just to pray for our listeners that they would respond however the Holy Spirit really wants them to respond?
Sure. Father, thank you that right now someone, many are hearing, Father, truth, and they're hearing about an opportunity where they can get involved. Father, you don't tell us to play church. You ask us to be the church. And Father, as I said earlier, Father, the best sermon I've heard is the one I saw. I pray, Father, that families, that listeners would be convicted that it's time that they take a step of faith and get involved. Father, when you created us, you created us so uniquely, and so many people with so many different gifts, Lord. Father, you didn't step back from any of us and say, oh, I blew that one. No, Father, you were rejoicing and you were smiling. And so, Father, today, if there's someone listening that feels called to be a part of this ministry, 8 Days of Hope Reigns, let them step out in faith. Father, let them find time to pray for the ministry, donate, share the gospel through 8 Days of Hope and Hope Reigns. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Steve, for being with us today.
Thank you, brother. God bless you, man.
You're listening to the Hour of Intercession. Our guest for this first segment was Steve Tiber with 8 Days of Hope and Hope Reigns. We'll be right back.
Just as David's mighty man, Benaiah, chased down a lion into a pit on a snowy day, Lion Chasers champions uncommon men and women of faith who are unafraid to stand up and speak truth to power in these dark and evil days. Never before has there been such a need for people of faith to draw a line in the sand with the sword of truth. Lion Chasers, the intersection of faith and public policy with Lonnie Poindexter. Weekday mornings at 10 Central on Urban Family Talk. The Awakening, shaking believers out of our slumber and calling us to action. The Awakening, encouraging Christians to rise up and stand, though all around us are falling. The Awakening, hosted by a warrior for the Word of God and for the Constitution, Bishop E.W. Jackson.
I am proud to say that I am not an African-American, I am an American!
Tune in to Urban Family Talk. Monday, Wednesday, and Friday mornings at 9 Central for The Awakening.
Christians often get a bad reputation for thinking we're better than other people. We're often accused of pretending to be holier than thou. But when you really consider what we're actually saying when we say we're Christians, the opposite should be true. When I say that I'm a Christian, what does it mean if it doesn't mean I'm openly admitting that I'm a sinner incapable of pleasing God? When I say that I'm a Christian, what does it mean if it doesn't mean there was one perfect person who lived a life I never could and paid a debt I truly owed? When I say that I'm a Christian, I'm far from better than anyone else. In fact, when I say that I'm a Christian, I'm saying I deserve death and eternal separation from God because of my sin. It should humble each and every one of us when we say we're Christians. The truth of the matter is, Christianity doesn't make you perfect. It publicly acknowledges you're not. With a heart for the urban family, I'm today's urban woman, Miki Addison. Go deeper at urbanfamilytalk.com.
This is David Barton with another moment from America's history. It is a definite biblical teaching that every individual will answer to God for the stewardship with which he was entrusted. Previous generations therefore realized that not only would each of us answer to God for how we handled our life and our family and our possessions, but also for how we handled our country. Consequently, voting was considered an act for which we were directly accountable to God. As Samuel Adams explained, let each citizen remember at the moment he is offering his vote that he is executing one of the most solemn trusts in human society for which he is accountable to God and his country. He should then appeal to his conscience that he has not trifled with that sacred trust. Voting is a serious responsibility for which Christians will answer to God. Therefore, make sure that you vote and vote biblically in the upcoming elections.
For more information on God's hand in American history, contact Wall Builders at 1-800-8-REBUILD.
We overcome tonight because it's in God that we live and move and have our being. Thanks be to God who always causes us to triumph, to overcome through the power of his name. See, we give him the praise.
Of Alvin Slaughter, the song Mighty Praise. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on Urban Family Talk. The Gospel of Matthew, chapter 28, beginning at verse 16, it tells us these words of wisdom. Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee to the mountain which Jesus had appointed for them. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen." Verses 16 through 20. Again, we're called, all of us are called to be involved in the wonderful work of making disciples. In this next segment, we're grateful to have with us on list today as our guest, Pastor Lester Walls. He is works with the Ministry Fellowship of Christian Athletes. We had the privilege of having another representative with us on last week from North Mississippi, and Pastor Lester is with FCA in Jackson, Mississippi. How are you today, Pastor?
We're blessed, Pastor. How are you doing today?
Real good, real good. Thank you so much for coming on with us. And you know, actually, some time ago, I was attempting to have someone from FCA on the broadcast. And actually, when I finally got hold of you, I was able to get hold of two of you. So we had Brother Bourne with us last week, and we're grateful to have you. Would you tell our listeners, Pastor Lester, a little bit about yourself and about the work you do with FCA in Jackson, Mississippi?
Okay, we'll start off with myself. First of all, praise the Lord. I've been a Christian for many years. At the age of 12 years old, I accepted the Lord and began to grow in a Baptist church there and committed to the Lord. And after being there for many years, I wanted the Lord begin putting in more in me and wanting to have more. And as a young man going to high school, I got involved with the Fellowship of Christian Athletes. Being an athlete, I was excited being a leader of the school there, and upon traveling and going to many of the conferences, I was challenged to even grow more in the relationship with the Lord and to be committed in that area. So I grew tremendously there, and then I began to have a heart for this ministry because in many situations, you could, especially racially, this is the best vehicle to deal with racism because black athletes and white athletes begin to be very, very close, begin to learn each other, begin to love each other. Before you knew it, there was a close relationship was created by the form of athletics. And they realize now black students, black athletes, and white athletes are the same. And there's some fast African-American athletes, there's some fast Caucasian Americans here, and then there's some that need to work on each way. So it was really great to know that here's a vehicle that we could use to create a closer relationship with one another and a closer relationship with the Lord. So upon growing in that area, and then years later began to play ball. I got a scholarship at Jackson State University, played ball there, an academic and athletic scholarship. Completing that, signing with Oakland Raiders a few years there, and then leaving Oakland, began to coach. After receiving a master's degree, I began to coach, and I coached for a little over 17 years. The Lord just blessed me to be very successful in that area. I coached a little over 13 national championships, and then the Lord said, "That's enough of that. I want you to come to be full time with the sports ministry." So I'm an area director now with a representative in the inner city Jackson area, covering the Jackson area and Capaya County South. But also I'm open to even traveling, doing some things. Like last week I was on the coast with one of our other colleagues on the coast is doing services. I'm also a pastor. And so we were really excited just to be who God wants us to be, using that vehicle that he had given to us. Now, FCA, I like to share with, first of all, the vision of FCA, and it says to see the world impact for Christ, Jesus Christ, through the influence of athletes and coaches. God is using, and we're real strategically using athletes and coaches. Why do we use them? I'm glad you asked the question. Our desire is that we use the already structured leadership. The coaches are the powerful leader on campus. Students are powerful leaders on campus, also with the student flavor. So let's pour into them that they may reach their campuses for the Lord. And so our vision is to see the world impact through the influence of athletes and coaches. And our ministry statement is this, that to present to athletes and coaches to whom they influence the challenger and individual receiving Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, sharing them and the relationship and the fellowship of the church. So FCA is not a church. We are equipping young men and young ladies to be in a real strong in their own church, wherever they are. So we're not trying to pull them out of church. We're trying to sharpen them to be better ambassadors in their church for the Lord. And then as they do that for the Lord, they can reach more students because of their influence being there with the athletes and coaches' line. Mm-hmm. So, Pastor, our heart is really to just reach them. And, again, thank you for giving us the opportunity to share what we're doing. Actually, our ministry statement, our vision statement for FCA.
Mm-hmm.
Now, our major target is to go into schools and to help and to encourage coaches, and that's what God did with me. As a successful coach, you know, coaching very few folks coach a lower 13 national championship, but God used me to do that. And so as he did that with me, now other coaches say, well, a lot of what was first say, what do you know about coaching? And I'm glad you asked the question. And then you began to tell them about the many, many experiences that God has allowed us to be successful in what we're doing. And then through that, now we're reaching masses. I have one little project that I'm doing right now. It's called the Watermelon Chapel. I will go and buy watermelons, go and chill them, and go to the football team, go to football fields right after their practices.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll communicate with the coach. So as soon as the practice is over, I'll pull up on the campus, on the, even on the football field, with a trailer occasionally or a cooler. I come with a butcher knife, and we just chop, cut the watermelon up very, very quickly and share the gospel.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes I've had a little over 35, 40 kids making a decision right there on the field, you know, for the Lord. Because I tell them, first of all, we're coming here. Jesus preached from the back of the ship.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus preached from the ship, and I'm preaching from the back of the trailer.
Mm-hmm.
And we're challenging that God has something great and sweet for them. He's come to take stuff, but God come to give you stuff. And we're coming to give you sweet watermelon at such time as getting off the field good and hot. They're good and hot, and then watermelon is good and cold, and we just bless them.
That's right.
So those are the things that we, that one of the little projects that we're doing locally.
You know, Pastor Les, I appreciate you again taking the time to be with us today. And, you know, FCA is a ministry that's, for those that may not be aware of it, I believe it's the most extensive Christian ministry in public schools in our nation and in some nations in the world as well. Very big ministry and doing great things for the Lord. And so I'm grateful to have you to come on and share about what you do. Now, you said you play, how many years did you play for the Los Angeles Raiders?
Well, I went to the mini camp. I was there. I went there in 80, time with them, and went out there, and it was a great time there. But my knee was giving me problems, so I ended up not staying with him. I was put on waivers for a while, not staying with him, but coming on back and receiving an academic scholarship to finish my master's degree.
Okay.
I went through my master's when I went to Oakland.
Then
coming back and then not applying for a job. The job applied for me. We began to coach. And I began to have us coaching.
And you coached, you said, for 17 years, you said?
Pardon me, sir?
You said you coached for about 17 years?
17 years. First 3.5 years at a junior high school, that was I had seven offers to go to schools. But one of, it was one junior high, and I just prayed about it. The Lord says, well, how about the junior high? I said, well, Lord, he said, that's what you want me to go. I'll go. So I went there, and after 3.5 years, very successful there, I was called to come to a junior college, Hines Community College here in Jackson, right outside of Jackson in Raymond. And I was there for 2.5 years. One of those years I coached for the national track and field, the national team that went to the track and field there in Odessa, Texas, for the national track meet. And then there for, like I said, 2.5 years. And then I was coaching at Carson Newman College. That's in East Tennessee, near Gatlinburg, Tennessee. I coached for a little over, 12 years. I coached for 12 national. Every year we was there, we coached for a national championship.
Okay.
It was a private Christian school, and it was an exciting time because we didn't have to hide that we were Christians as coaches, and we began to pour into the lives of our young people there.
Mm-hmm.
Very, very powerful and potent, and that's when I even got even deeper with the Fellowship of Christian Athletes. I began to travel to Asheville, North Carolina, to many of the schools, the colleges in the area, doing camps during the summer, and then along with the one that we had there at Carson Newman.
Okay.
And it was a really exciting time. Then the Lord says that's just time to come back to Mississippi, and I wrestled with the Lord coming back because I was now enjoying the success of a coach and nursing to athlete with SCA.
Mm-hmm.
But now the Lord called me out of coaching, but I still can minister to some coaches now and even coach. But my major desire is to minister to our coaches, equipping them. They may reach our young people. There are, and most folks will, well, there's other students would be great example for Christ. Yes, that's true. Our desire is we're not going at a shotgun approach for getting Christians. Our desire is to do the rifle approach. That means strategically pouring into strategic people that they will be equipped to go and teach a multitude of more people, and then we can go on and, like Paul went on, set up another church, and come back by and see how they're doing. So we're reaching for those leaders. We're going to pour God's word, God's spirit, and our additional resources in these leaders.
Mm-hmm.
And then in turn bless their campuses for the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
And so that is our heart, is to pour into the leaders, because just like Michael Jordan now, even though he's out of the big sports line, but because of his influence, he's still making money by his, helping with underwears, selling underwears. Michael Jordan is an example for that. So that's what we want to pour into those folks that has influence.
Right.
What is influence? Having a standard, having the blessing of God to give, they have great abilities. And now we want to equip them to go out and to bless others.
Mm-hmm.
And so while we're still reaching and creating and working with new people, these guys that we already have poured into, they already have the leadership ability. Now let's sharpen that.
Mm-hmm.
Proverbs 27:17 says, as iron sharpens iron, so each man should sharpen the countenance of his brother. So we want to sharpen our coaches, sharpen our leaders, sharpen those athletes, that they may go and reach the rest of students for the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
And that includes other athletes and our normal students, and also in their communities too, so they become more influential with the word of God, and to be a blessing, not only to themselves, but be a blessing to the nations.
Amen. Amen. Would you say a word of prayer for our listeners that they would grow in their understanding of the need to be making disciples like you're speaking of?
Yes, okay. But our major part is to make disciples and to glorify the Lord through this. The crazy thing of athletics, and we would use football, basketball, or track, and lacrosse, or whatever it is. So, Father, right now, in the precious name of Jesus, we thank you for your anointing. We thank you, Father, for this vehicle, the Fellowship of Christian Athletes, that you've allowed us to use to bless not only our country, but even 54 more foreign countries, oh, Father, the FCA is set up into right now. Oh, Father, we thank you that you would bless them, that you would guide them, that these other countries will be blessed in a mighty way because of your word that we put out on the airways and put it into our system, and to bless their environment, their families, and most of all, bless their future because it was you. We thank you, Father, that you've given us this time to come on the air on this radio station, Father, to show others who you are and let them know that we can give you the glory and be successful in all that God has for us to do. And we want to give you the glory for that, give you the honor. And thank you that you would bless this radio station, Father. Bless the subsidiary, the American Family Radio line, too, Father, that we would keep going on and changing life, not for a day, but for eternity.
Hello, it's your girl, Victory McIntosh. Catch me Monday through Fridays from 6 to 8 p.m. Central for the Jesus Jams, where I'm all about putting a good beat to some good gospel music. I'm here to inform you of today's hottest topics, along with many of my favorite jams. The Jesus Jams is a place for truth, wisdom, and empowerment with good music. Catch me Monday through Friday, 6 to 8 p.m. Central on Urban Family Talk.
My name's John. Just a few years ago, after gangs, drugs, and prison, it all led me to a suicide attempt that left my voice like this. But Teen Challenge has given me something to say with my voice, drug-free.
If you know an adult or teenager who's struggling with a chemical addiction, Teen Challenge can help. Call us today at 417-581-2181 or reach us online at teenchallengeusa.com. This is Urban Family Talk.
The Christian life is like a journey, but Dr. Tony Evans says it may not be the kind of trip you were expecting. He explains as we spend 2 minutes with Tony.
One of my favorite vacations to take is cruise ships, cruising, because they do everything for you. In fact, when you get off the plane, you don't even have to look for your bags anymore. You meet them at the ship. You get to the ship, the steward meets you, tells you all the services in the boat, eat till you drop. Entertainment galore. Come and go as you please. Go to different ports. You get to cruise. You get to chill for a week or 10 days or however long. It's a cruise ship, and so you don't have to do much because it's all taken care of for you. See, some of y'all cruised in here this morning. I showed up. Now you take care of everything else. You make sure everything is taken care of, everything is flowing, everything is set up, everything is working, because I'm cruising. But I got some bad news for you. The Christian faith isn't a cruise ship, it's a battleship. And on a battleship, you need all hands on deck. It's about warfare, because there's an enemy out there that's coming after you and you and you and you and you and you and me. So we need all hands on deck. Everybody playing their little part. If you're a finger, be a good finger. If you're a hand, be a good hand. If you're an arm, be a good arm. If you're a foot, be a good foot. But please know, this is not a cruise ship. This is a battleship, and we need all hands on deck.
Dr. Evans digs deeper into what life in God's kingdom should be like in his series, The One Another's, available online at tonyevans.org. And be sure to join us next time for 2 Minutes with Tony.
I'm going to be like my granddaddy one day.
I want the best wine.
I'm going to sing this song. It goes like this. Listen.
You're listening to the music of William Murphy, the song Empty Me. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on Urban Family Talk. Our guest today is Pastor Lester Walls. He works with FCA, Fellowship of Christian Athletes, in Jackson, Mississippi. Pastor Lester, can you tell us now, you said you work with high school as well as middle school, in particular there in Jackson. Is that correct?
Yeah, in the Jackson area.
We have originally, FCA has been doing high school, junior high, and then the college area.
Mm-hmm.
But because of the battle and the depth of the imparting of different spirits and encouragement of our young people, we need to get them even earlier. Mm-hmm. So now we're in the process of reaching our community. That means those that are much younger.
Mm-hmm.
We have some, we pair in with some churches called Power Camps. And so we'll drop down to the sixth, seventh, and eighth graders, you know, mm-hmm. in that particular area. So that's, Pastor Joseph, that's our heart is to reach our young people.
Mm-hmm.
And that means we had to step a little bit lower than what originally FCA had been doing.
Okay.
So we do now reach with our community, with our younger athletes. Then we go to our next level with the junior high, and then we'll go to the high school, and then we'll also hook up and tie in with our college students also. I was formerly working with a lot of our chaplaincy in the area, especially at Jackson State, in the Jackson area. I worked with Tupelo College with their athletes there, too. So we're going our college students, our high school students, a junior high, and now we're moving to the area of a community league line, because there's over, I think, I'm believing there's about a little over 50,000 or 57 million, I'm sorry, 57 million students are connected with athletics.
Hmm.
And but there's about 7% of those are in school.
Mm-hmm.
So now we're looking at the larger percentage of our athletic line is outside the school, club league, Pee Wee leagues, and all those. So now we're actually moving in the area of change to work with those students that are not in our conventional school systems.
Mm-hmm.
So our desire is to challenge them and to work with those coaches in those areas to be successful. And then also in some of these smaller leagues are many of the people that are not really normal coaches. They are businessmen doing things. So we do a training for our coaches called a three-dimensional coaching.
Mm-hmm.
It talks about the in-depth, not only dealing with the physical, not only dealing with emotional, but the heart of the athlete.
Mm-hmm.
And when you get the heart of the athlete, when you coach the heart of the athlete, you'll be looking for success. Because
mm-hmm.
with that part, that is the difference between playing sports and being a winner and a leader in sports. And that's
mm-hmm.
our heart, is to getting our coaches, getting our community leaders, getting those that are working with us young people, coaching not the physical, the physical meaning the speed, the plays and all that part, but the next level mm-hmm. is coaching the inner part, the motivation, what makes this person, what makes this young athlete excited. And then the ultimate part is reaching the heart.
Mm-hmm.
What is his heart? Encouraging his heart to be who God wants to be. And then when you have a heart like God, he'll be a very, very successful athlete in the efforts of the things that he's doing.
Mm-hmm.
Physically, a lot of times, well, everybody won't score, but we're not talking about just scoring on the field. We're talking about scoring in life.
Right.
And that,
right.
That, and when you have that relationship with the Lord, you'll be successful in those things that you do, especially in Joshua. He said, if you spend time with me, and John 2 tells us we would bear much fruit.
Mm-hmm.
And but it also says, and you will be successful in Joshua. So you'll be successful in whatever you do.
That's right.
Whether athletics, whether in the business market, whether as a professor elsewhere, you'll be successful because you have the right desire.
Mm-hmm.
You've got the glory, and be successful in whatever you do. That means putting your very best foot forward.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Tony Evans was saying, this is not a cruise ship.
Mm-hmm.
This is a battleship.
That's right.
And we need
That's
to be
right.
ready for battle. We need to be excited about the battle.
Mm-hmm.
We need to be ready. But a lot of folks want to sit there in their beach chairs,
mm-hmm.
on the side of the ship chairs, those are the cruise ship chairs.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a battle going on out there, and our desire is to get into the battle and make a difference.
That's
And FCA is trying to, we are making a difference by getting to the lives of our young people, encouraging them to be who God wants them to be.
Hmm. Well, how would you ask Pastor Lester, how would you want to see the church pray for you and for FCA as a whole? What would be some of the most effective things and important things to pray for the ministry of FCA?
Again, I would love our churches to pray for us in the area of and there's a little change, too, because there's a time usually we're mostly our spiritual parts, my spiritual entities, my spiritual situations, or we're welcome in schools. But right now, a lot of the spiritual things, not the Christian things, that sometimes they're not welcome in schools.
Mm-hmm.
But FCA is still one of those vehicles that we are able to still get into schools.
That's
and
right.
Pray for us that we'll keep going, keep being that vehicle for the Lord. And we have some young people. We have more now missionaries to the Jackson and to our Mississippi area than we've ever had before.
Mm-hmm.
Pray for our young people as they're coming in, our young missionaries going to the field of their financial area, and of course ours too. You know, they've been here a while. This is my going on my 18th year as a ministry, as an area director for FCA, and
mm-hmm.
this is my 18th year. But as we're getting young people, they're raising their own salary,
mm-hmm.
raising their own funds, because we give coaches Bibles. And in the area when we're giving them these things here, we're having to raise that fund to bless these people, bless our coaches, bless
mm-hmm.
our staff with that area. So these are the things that we're doing right now is to bless them that way.
Mm-hmm.
So that is our heart. We'd like for y'all to pray for those on that particular one.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what we, you know, that's our heart.
Okay.
We need to make sure that we are doing that area. So if you would pray for us, for our young staff, praying for our mature staff in the financial area, and praying that there's attack against the church, and that is our effort going to the schools that kind of resist us. And we ask that you would help us, pray for us, that God will still free us up to give him the glory, to give him the honor,
mm-hmm.
and be a blessing to those that are around us.
Okay.
So that is our heart, if you would pray for us in that area.
Right. Well, would you tell our listeners, like, if someone would like to, well, obviously we can pray for you, but also, is there a website that someone could learn specifically about FCA there in Jackson, Mississippi? And also, if people want to contribute to the work of FCA, how would they do that?
Okay, first of all, we'd love to, you know, you may want to say again, like your station here, you're in the area of the urban family communication line. We want the money to go directly there, even though it may go to the American Family Radio outside line, but we want it to come here. And the same way with FCA, you can go online, it's www.fca.org,
mm-hmm.
and then say, I would like to support the inner city or the Jackson area with the FCA, or the Capaya, those areas that I'm working with there, or
right.
just supporting FCA. And you can put Lester Wall beside it, and that would come directly to us helping this particular area.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So so that's our heart, is that we want to, and but all of, there's much more information that's on our website. We have a little project now that's doing with our tags. You know, they have a tag representing everything, but we have a tag that's called the Fellowship of Christian Athletes. It's an FCA tag that lets the world know that I'm supporting FCA.
Hmm.
And
okay.
you can go online and get that tag and put it on your car.
Mm-hmm.
Others will know that you are supportive of the ministry that we're doing
mm-hmm.
In our
okay.
schools and in our colleges and in our communities that way.
Okay.
So, again, you could have that way. You can go online and ask for additional information. You can go online and receive our information with that for FCA directly for me. And then also our mailing address in the Jackson area we said in Jackson area, but it would be listed in Ridgeland.
Mm-hmm.
Our mailing appeal box, 449 Ridgeland, Mississippi, 39154. You may connect with us there, or you may call the office at 601-856-3224, and that will get us there in the office, in the Fellowship of Christian Athletes office. And you may want to say that I want to would love to support the inner city area and a portion of District 7. That's one of the area I cover. Mm-hmm. And we'll be glad to, we'll be grateful to receive that to be a blessing to our athletes and to our community.
Okay.
So those are things that we'll love to have you all to be part of us in those particular areas.
Okay. Well, I'm going to take a moment now to specifically to pray for you and the work of FCA. Father, thank you, Lord, for Pastor Walls. Thank you for the work you've called him to and the others that are part of the staff of FCA in Jackson, Mississippi. But thank you, Lord, also for FCA in all the other states and cities and communities and other countries as well. Thank you for opening so many doors. Lord, more and more open more doors for the great ministry of FCA to go through to minister on the campuses of middle schools, high schools, and college and universities as well. And Lord, more and more give them open doors into communities to go and reach out to young children as well. And Father, more and more raise up people that will come alongside and become a part of this great work to carry the work forward that you've called the Fellowship of Christian Athletes to. And help us, Lord, remember in the body of Christ to pray much for this ministry and other ministries like it that go into difficult places, tough places to minister, to carry the gospel in places that sometimes others don't have the opportunity to carry it. And Father, give them, continue to give them more and more open doors and raise up intercessors that will really pray seriously for the great work that they're doing. And Lord, I pray that they'll become more and more an effective vessel in your hands with every passing day. We thank you. Praise you. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Pastor Lester, our time is just about gone. In the last 60 seconds or so, would any other words you'd like to tell our listeners about the work of FCA that they might want to know about?
Okay, again, I'd like to, again, just pray for us there. And we are excited to encourage our young people. I'll quickly give you can read a portion of it a little later, but I'm going to run over part of it right quick. Psalms 1. He said, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of ungodly, nor stand in the path of the sinners, nor sit in the seat of the mockers. But my delight is in the law of the Lord, that we meditate on it day and night, and we'll be like trees planted by the rivers of water, giving forth fruit in its season. I want to declare right now that this is our season. What happens in your season? You are productive.
Mm-hmm.
So we want to declare. We got to declare not only with our head, but also with our mouth, that mm-hmm. we have declared that this is our season to bless not only Mississippi, not only the U.S., but the world.
Amen.
As we invest in God's word in the lives of our young people. We thank you for that right now.
Amen.
We give God's praise for that. And we thank you for listening to this Urban Family radio station because it is a blessing just to hear and the things that are going on here. And we'll give God the praise for that right now in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Pastor Lester, thank you so much for being with us on the broadcast today. We appreciate your time, all right?
Thank you very much, and I appreciate all you're doing.
Amen. And again, for every single listener, please remember to pray much for the work of FCA, both in your local community, wherever you might be. Pray for Pastor Lester and his staff and others, because again, it's a great ministry doing great work in the kingdom of God. Thank you for listening. And as always, we appreciate you listening. Join us again next time for the Hour of Intercession.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of Urban Family Talk, Urban Family Communications, or American Family Association.
Urban Family Talk.
Urban Family Talk.